Blog Talk Radio.
Individual tonight, going from caller to caller. So thank you for being with us. We will be doing that here in just a few moments, maybe 30 minutes or so. And so, all right. So good to be here. Hopefully, all doing well tonight. We are going to pray for you. So tonight is the night where everybody gets prayed for. Thank God for Wednesday nights. All right. Yeah. All right. Okay. If you don't know how to do the show tonight and you're on, you're sitting there thinking it's the first time I've ever been on. So what you do is you, when you call into the show next time, you're already in tonight. But if you call into the show on Wednesdays and the morning you want to get in early, you can call at 15 minutes before 9. The show starts at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. You can call in, start calling in at 8:45, get in early. And so you can do that. And make sure you get your hand up. How you get your hand up is when you call on that number, 319 number, it will say automated voice will say, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. As soon as it says welcome, click 1 on your phone right there, on your phone pad. All right, click 1, right? And that will put your hand up. That way, if you don't put your hand up, then you'll have me seeing you there, but you won't have your hand up, which means you're just listening. You don't really want to talk or visit or whatever yet. Maybe you're just listening in, so I will not call your number. So please put your hand up. As soon as you call in and it says, welcome to Blog Talk Radio, click 1 on your phone pad. About the same phone pad you're calling in on your cell phone. Click 1 on that, and it will put your hand up. Isn't that cool? Yeah. A little hand goes up. It goes, hey, here I am. Please pray for me and whatever. All right. So, really, really, really cool. All right, so let's share here just a little bit. I want to share a couple things that I got, you know, like a couple of days ago. Something the Lord's been showing me more and more all the time is that, you know, when you go through fiery trials, you get the fire on you. You know, the fire is to perfect you, right? It is to cleanse you. And we all need, you know, until we're totally cleansed and purified all the way, right, and walking on water and healing the sick and raising the dead, even then we might still need cleansing, right? But we need cleansing. We need to be washed. And so what does God do? It's the fire of the Holy Spirit. And the fire of the Holy Spirit, you know, burns away things. It's like, you know, becomes the fire in your altar, so to speak. And the fire in your altar is where you offer up your prayers. And if you got fire in your altar, if you're not lukewarm and just kind of doing your own thing, walking your own way, you know, and you got fire going on in there, if you're serving God. And, of course, the more you let God deal with you, the more you let him change you, because it's all about changing. You are not, and neither am I, completely changed in our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, where we think and have memories, and that part of us that looks at things in the earthly realm and makes decisions and all that, that part of us is being renewed. It's the only part of us that really is officially being renewed on a regular basis through our own choices, our own will. So as we yield to the fire of God, you know, just burns away stuff. The fire of God is like the fire, and so it's like a fire in our altar. The altar of our own personal altar. Everybody has their own personal altar, right? You don't have to go to somebody else's altar. You can, and that does help. But you have your own altar in your heart where you offer up your prayers to God. And, you know, call it an altar of incense. You can look at it like a barbecue pit. like the brazen labor, where they had the fire going, and they would, the Israelites would come bring their offering, whatever it was, you know, whether it was a bird or a lamb or whatever it was, and they would offer it up, and that fire would turn it into smoke, right? And the smoke would be a sweet smelling savor to the Lord, and He would forgive sin. So it's kind of like you know, when you start cooking your chicken or your steak out on the, or whatever your fish, whatever you're cooking out on the grill, and maybe your veggies and your corn and whatever, and you start smelling it, it's like, wow, I like that. It brings a pleasurable feeling, like I'm going to enjoy this, right? It's not done yet, but it's on the way, and I'm going to enjoy it. That's kind of what your altar does. It causes your the things that you offer up to God, whether it be, you know, your life, your children, you know, giving your children to God, giving your finances, giving your whatever you're giving to God. There's a fire there, and that fire turns that prayer into something that moves toward God, if you will, into smoke, right? Because when you put it up there, it's a slab of meat, so it'd be a piece of chicken or a piece of lamb or something. And that meat begins to, you know, cook, and as it does, it turns that smoke from the actual chicken or from the actual meat, from the actual offering, begins to go into the nostrils of God, if you will, and just make Him want to come eat with you, right? You know, you ever had the neighbors cooking? You're sitting outside, you know, trying to read, trying to study, and you're out in the backyard or whatever, and you smell the barbecue pit next door. Like, what does it make you want to do? It makes you want to, you know, literally, I've had my neighbors at times, you know, I don't know if they were just feeling me or what. They literally brought a chicken leg over to me one time. Here you go, chicken leg. I'm going, yeah, of course. I could smell it. It was great. And that's what your prayers do to God. They kind of create an atmosphere with God, yeah, I think I want to come eat with you, man, because, you know, you got something. But if you throw your meat up there and there's no fire and it sits there for a few days, it begins to rot, right? It begins to make worms and, you know, it turns into a mess. And nothing ever goes up. Nothing ever turns into smoke. You know, you can have a fire. The fire doesn't make you hungry. It's when the fire begins to burn, you know, and cook the meat that it creates this smell, right? This sweet aroma that goes up, and everybody in the neighborhood, if you're cooking outside, can smell it. They're going like, man, it makes me want to eat something. That's what it is with God. It makes God want to come, you know, knock on your door and say, hey, what you got cooking in here, honey? What do y'all got going on over here? You know, it makes him want to come and, you know, eat with you, partake with you. And that's what, so he partakes of your prayers. He listens to your prayers. So it's a beautiful thing. And so the hotter your fire is, you know, it doesn't have to be really hot to cook. Sometimes, you cook it at a lower heat. But if you've got to be able to have your fire, you know, hot enough to cook, right? And so, you know, the thing that I'm trying to say tonight, the thing that I want to say to you tonight is the hotter your fire is, when you go through trials, when you go through things and you let God deal with you, you let God turn up the fire in your life. Because there are times that God is turning up the fire. It's not the devil. It's God. I mean, He may use the enemy to get you to, you know, like He did with Paul, gave him a thorn in the flesh, so he would, you know, start seeking God and knowing that, you know, no matter what he did, he had to depend on the grace of God, because Paul couldn't seem to do everything perfect enough to satisfy God, you know, as far as, you know, doing everything perfect. He was no longer under the law. He knew that he wasn't called to Christ to live under the law anymore. In fact, that's why Paul talks so much about being under the law, because he was under the law when the law was the way to go, when the law was the thing that you did. You tried to live it. You tried to obey it, and nobody could, right? And some did really good, and Paul was one who earnestly was a true, sincere seeker of God, and he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. In other words, he really did love God. He really did seek God with all his heart. So, but he knew he couldn't fulfill that. So what God did is He put him in the fire and said, Paul, you've got to stop trying to live under the law. But God, you know, the law is the way we go. And he goes, yeah, that's the way it used to be. Now that Christ has paid the price and satisfied the Father, that we no longer, live under that same, in the same way under the law. You're not under the curse of the law or under the law in the way that you were before. And so Paul quit trying to do everything perfect and learn how to rest in the Lord, learn how to let the fire of God burn in him, and the fire of God did a work in him and caused him to depend on the grace and mercy of God rather than his good works. Paul was a good works person. Some of you sitting out there, you're a really good works person. You're a good person. You really do good. You like doing good. You may mess up once in a while, like we all do, but you really are good working, hard working like Paul was. And yet God is saying, it's your salvation is free. Your salvation, you cannot buy your salvation. You cannot work for your salvation, and you can't do works that lose your salvation. You can't work to get it, and you can't work to lose it. Right? That's the thing that we all got to come to grips with. Because if you think you can work, do some sinful work to lose your salvation, then you have to do works to get it back and do works to keep it. You see, and so Paul the apostle was like that. He understood that. He was in bondage to that. And he says, no longer, God, Jesus says, no longer. You got the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to learn to live by the Spirit. And the Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. So Paul got a hold of that, and he tried to communicate it to his brothers, the Jewish people, and they really fought him over it because they thought he was, denying the faith and doing all kinds of things. And yet, so he had to learn how to live by grace. And I tell you, my friend, most of us don't realize we think we have to live by grace. We don't realize we're living under the law, right, because we think we're not living under the law. But we really do live by what wrong thing will I do that I can mess up my salvation? If you're thinking that, something's not right. If you're thinking that, something's not right. Either you're not saved, or you're saved and you're believing wrong, and you're like Paul, you're trying to live under the law because that's what he was used to. He lived with that every day. I got to do right. I got to do right under the law. I got to do perfect. If I don't, I'm under the curse. And so he had to break that thing, and I think that's why Paul was used so much for the Gentiles and even for the Jews to say, hey, that no longer works like that. It never worked in the first place. But you don't have to try to do that anymore. Now, walk by faith, walk in the Spirit, and let the fire of God, Holy Spirit, burn within you. And the more he burned Paul allowed the fire of God to get so hot with him and burn within him that sometimes, the devils, just like with Jesus, the devils manifested all around him. Jesus Christ so walked in the fire of the Holy Spirit because he did whatever he saw the Father do. He laid down his life on a regular basis. He had to learn to do that every day. Listen, friend, you and I need to learn how to lay our lives down every day and take up our cross and follow him. Learn how to, renew our minds and get our daily bread. Because the more you realize how needy you are, the more you realize how much you need him. And that is a gift. That is a blessing that will save your life and keep you in line with God, because you're under his grace, not because you're doing everything perfect and you're trying so hard and you're living, with your own strength. No, you yield totally to the Holy Spirit and to the fire of God to empower you to live right. Amen. And so here's my point tonight with this. What I saw an image of the last few days is that just like Jesus Christ, the fire of God was so massive around him. It was so hot. It was so hot that the spiritual realm, demons, sickness and disease could not hang around him. The fire was so hot that the demons would recognize the fire of God as torment, because the fire of God torments. Now watch this, my brother. The fire of God in you, the hotter it is, the more it burns, that means that the demons and people that are being used by demons, when they get around you, they can't stay long because the fire torments them. Amen. If people love you, the fire warms them. If they hate you like demons, like principalities and power, the demonic realm of demonic of principalities and power, they understand, they see the fire, they know the fire, they feel the fire, and when they feel that fire, friend, of the Holy Ghost, not your own zeal, the fire of the flaming power of God's glory, that when you get, when they try to come at you, they usually don't, are not very successful, because the fire torments them. Remember when Jesus would go places? Remember when he went to the island where the guy who had all the demons, the legion of demons, remember that? And the demons came out and said, "Why have you come to torment us before our time?" What was tormenting them? It was the fire of God. The fire of God, friend, torments the devil. It tortures him. He can't handle it. He's like, he can't handle it. So you see the answer to dealing with demons, whether you have a ministry to deal with demons or deal with sickness or deal with anything that has demons attached to it. The fire of God, your body becomes a living sacrifice for God, a living sacrifice, and your soul is on fire with God's love, power, and his mercy. The demons are the ones who can't handle that. They can't warm up to that fire. Now, people can love you, and they will feel the warmth of that love. Now, if they start hating you, well, with demonic help, of course, when those demons around those people start hating you, pretty soon, when they get around you, they start feeling tormented and tortured. Remember the two witnesses? Those guys were so full of the fire of God that when they finally killed them, when the beast came out and killed them, all the people rejoiced. It says the two witnesses tormented all those who had the mark of the beast. Not the Christians. Didn't torment the Christians. Made the Christians feel comforted. When you get around a man or a woman of God that's flaming with the fire of God, it warms you. It makes you feel safe. Why? Because of them? No, it's because the glory of God on them. That fire there is to comfort. But when the fire is there in the demonic realm, in any form or fashion, sickness, disease, tries to come at you and come against you, those demons feel that fire, and it torments them, just like it did with the two witnesses. It said they got rid of him, but they said because they went around, they tormented all those who were of the Antichrist, and they had the mark of the beast. Tormented him. Yeah. The same thing with Jesus. Why? Because the fire, man, it's the fire of God. If you don't have that fire, those demons will, you know, they'll have no problem messing with you. So you want to get rid of them? You can rebuke all you want to, and you need to do that. You need to get it done out of your own life, right, first. But you know what? You know what? You save yourself a lot of rebuking time. Your rebuking time will be a lot shorter and a lot more powerful when you learn how to focus on Jesus and let the flames of revival burn within your soul, and let your spirit man be the lead who's seated at the right hand, is seated with Christ in heavenly places, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, and we're seated with him, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, that your spirit man is aflame with God's glory. And when you're walking in unity, spirit, soul, and body, in harmony with God, that fire from heaven is flaming all around you, friend. Flaming all around you. The glory of God. And those demons cannot, when you approach them, they either come out of those people, whether it be sickness and disease or just tormenting demons, torturing devils. Those devils have to leave. They don't want you coming to town. They don't want you coming to town at all. They try to get rid of you as soon as possible. It's like with Paul the Apostle. Everywhere Paul went, the more he got in the glory, the more he learned to live by grace, Let me tell you something, friend. Grace is a flame of glory. The grace of God is not some weak little frail thing that goes, I hope I don't sin today, and you sin, you think, oh, I guess I just keep sinning because it's all okay. No, the flame of God's grace burns with the glory of God. Hallelujah, with holiness and righteousness and purity before the Father. So it's not we focus on, quote, how much authority we have through Jesus' name. When you understand it properly, you'll know what I'm saying, that when that fire is burning with you, with that fire is the authority of Christ Jesus. The flames of God's glory goes before you and behind you, and when it's all around you, surrounding you, and your walls are flames of fire, and you're protected by the hedge of God's fire, friend, everywhere you go, those demons recognize the fire, and they are the ones who cannot be around you. Why have you come to torment us before our time? Because they know that that fire of God is going to torment them someday forever and ever. And it begins today. It began through Jesus Christ. It began through Paul the Apostle. A demon came out of the woodworks. They would stay at a distance from Paul. That lady walked behind him saying, these men are the men of God. They tried to mess it up. They tried to water it down. They tried to make it look like it's demonic. Like that woman was demonic. Everybody knew she had demons, and that demonized woman was trying to say, I'm part of Paul's ministry, and he's such a wonderful man, and I'm on his side, and he's a man of God, you know. And it was all a strategy to compromise God's word and his power, to make somehow connected to the devil. Yeah. But let me tell you something, friend. The fire of God, woo, when Paul finally turned around and the fire of the Holy Ghost and said, come out of her, you devil. In the name of Jesus, the fire of God drove out. That's why the we talked about this the other night about, I made a little thing about Russia and how the two witnesses were in Russia and Putin had them surrounded with tanks and all that. And after the fire of God came out of their mouth and their enemies were trying to take them out, trying to destroy them before their prophecy was done. And the flames came out of the mouth. See, and this is the whole thing that I'm saying about this with. It's that it's God says, I'm wanting to flicker the flame. I want him to blow upon the coals of your life. Let me breathe upon you with a fire and a fire. When it begins to burn, friend, it's going to convict you. Convict you doesn't mean make you feel bad in a wrong kind of way. It makes you feel bad in a good kind of way. It makes you feel like, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't stand, you're tormented to even think about doing those things. Because the fire torments anything, any thought process that is of the devil or carnal or of the enemy in any fashion or form. The fire of God, when it's burning in your soul, and it tries to come at you like fire, the hotter your fire is, the fire of the devil, when the devil comes with his fire at you, let me tell you something, friend. God is showing me this. The fire realm is going to be so blazing hot as we head toward this end of the end times. I mean the end of the end times, like the last 3.5 years. Well, the Great Tribulation is. Great Tribulation to me, and it's in my eyes, I see it as great fire. That's how I look at it, because I look at the two witnesses and the fire coming out of their mouth. And the Bible says that if you try to stop, not if you disagree with them, not if you don't like them, but if you try to stop them from doing God's will, that fire will proceed out of their mouth, and this is how you will die. It says, oh, wow, it's not funny, but it's funny. It ain't funny, but it's pretty amazing, right? Yeah. It's the fire of God's glory. God says, he's talking to his people now. He's saying to my church, to my betrothed, come and let the flames of my love burn within you. Hallelujah. Where you won't even think what the flames of God's love is in you, it causes you to never even think a second about being unfaithful to Jesus. Because that's what the Great Tribulation is going to do. It's going to cause, it's about the woman, the betrothed of God, going through fires and proving herself a faithful, soon to be married to Jesus, and God's going to try her in the fire and purify her in the fire. The woman, the church of Jesus Christ, the flames. That talks about when the woman gave birth to the male child, and it was a woman, and she was the two wings of an eagle took her into the wilderness, and the Satan tried to go after her, and he couldn't do it. Why? Because God was protecting her. And that woman, while the bridegroom is seated in a physical body at the right hand of the Father, he has sent the Holy Spirit so that this birth church on the day of the cross, when they speared him, and on the day of Pentecost, when that church was birthed into reality and came forth, that woman, the woman of God, how the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of God, now filled with glory and righteousness, and her dress. I can't even think about, men got, it's kind of hard for men to do, but women can think about somebody that has their dress on, right? Got to get our righteous garments on, our white garments, amen, our wedding dress. Woo, hallelujah. I'm telling you, man, get ready. And I'm not a transgender, and I'm no woman, and I don't have homosexual issues. I guarantee you that. And I'm having to think of the Lord, I want you to get it right, man. Get on it. You got to start seeing that this is the test. The reason I'm going to cause my woman to go through the trials and tribulations is to prove her loyalty to me. Even some of them may have to die. In the book of Acts, some of them had to die. They proved their loyalty. Peter got to prove his loyalty through being nailed on a cross upside down. He said, please don't nail me right up. He said, nail me upside down. But see, some of us have not quite got, we will get it. Some of us don't have it yet. Some of us are getting it. But we don't see that loyalty. We do, oh God, don't let me die. Oh God, don't let me suffer. Oh God, don't let me suffer. And the church of Jesus Christ today is a we don't want to suffer. We want money. We want wealth. We want fame. We want people to pat us on the banquet. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to be blessed, have favor, and have wealth. But I'm telling you one thing, that we gotta get through this thing of suffering, because it's a suffering, a yielding to the sufferings of Christ, that cause that fire to flame within you and burn within you. But you don't have to say a whole lot of words. The fire of God in your life will speak for itself. The fire of God, when you just walk somewhere, you don't even have to open your mouth. Jesus didn't have to say, I'm here, devil. I'm here, devil. I've arrived on the island. Where are you? Come out wherever you are. No, they felt the flame coming at him when he was in the boat and the water, and they're hoping that the water would put the fire out. But it didn't. It just caused the fire to flame more. He told his disciples, we're going to go to the other side, man. There's something awaiting you there, and the fire of God just walked up on there. He didn't have to say a word. It was the fire that spoke for him. And they felt the flame of God's glory tormenting them. And the man who had the demons came running to Jesus, and yet the demons were in him crying, run, run. And I think he got confused. Instead of running away, he ran to Jesus because God was drawing him. And the flames of God's fire, the closer he got to Jesus, the more those demons began to cry out, why have you come to torment us before our time? What was tormenting them? It wasn't just the anointing, friend. It was the fire of God. That fire that they're going to feel for eternity, flaming and tormenting them forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. The thing is, you can walk in that fire today. And the hotter your fire is, See, here's the thing. The devil has fire, too. They have fire. Oh, the Antichrist is even going to call down fire as a false sign and wonder. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Abednego, as I call them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. Yeah. They said, oh, king, we got the fire of God in us. We're burning for God. We cannot bow down to your altar. We have our own altar. And the king says, throw them in the fire. And the fire was turned up seven times. What does seven times mean, friend? Let me tell you what it's a picture of. It's a picture of the seven-year tribulation where the fires are turned up so hot. But the thing is that the fire in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was hotter than the fire that they turned up seven times. And as they walked up to the fire, those who were carrying them got burned up in the fire, but it did not touch them. Why? Because the fire of God in them burned much more than the fire did that had been turned up seven times. And it represents the 7 years of the tribulation and the great tribulation, especially the last 3.5 years, where we will not have to be afraid of the fire. We don't have to bow to the Antichrist. We'll be faithful and loyal to Jesus. That's what the woman's going to be. That's what the great tribulation is about. It's about seeing, trying and proving and testing the woman to see if she will be faithful and loyal, or is she going to be some adulterous whore who sells herself and sells Jesus and sells his word. Could you imagine the day that Jesus Christ shows up and all these ministries that have been selling Jesus, how they're going to feel when he sits there and tells them, he said, I tried to get you to stop doing that, to stop selling me and selling my name and selling my word, and you didn't do it. I love you, but I rebuke you. That's what he's going to do, friend. And I'm going to say, Jesus, you know, I ain't got no blood on my hand. No, sir. No, sorry. The Holy Ghost preached to me, as you guys know, about a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago now. Told me, do not bend. Do not bow. Keep on preaching. Because he said, Randy, this is the message of the end time about merchandising. It's not just about merchandise. It's about the whore. That in one day, the prostitute, the whore, the woman. This is about women, friend. It's going to be the whore woman against the church woman. Can't you see that? Get that in your mind. Get that in your heart. This is a woman thing. The man of God is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's chosen a woman, the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, to take her through a time of being faithful and loyal and proving her love for her Savior. I will die if I have to, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hallelujah. And the flames were so hot on them that when they tried to turn up the fire during the Great Tribulation, everybody else goes, I want that. Okay. I don't want to be here for that. No, I don't want to be here for that. They said, we don't care, O king. Even if our God does not deliver us, we will not bow to you. Hallelujah. And that cowardice, prostitution spirit, I bind it off the body of Christ in the name of Jesus. I curse that thing at the root. Come out and come off of you in the name of Jesus, you selling prostitute whore. Demon and devils. May the fire of God torment you in Jesus' name before your time in the name of Jesus. May the fire of God burn with the love, the pure, unadulterated love of God in the woman of God, in the church of Jesus Christ. Burn with flames that the world has never seen before, that when they throw them into the great tribulation and the fire is turned up seven times, that it don't make a rip. What's going on over there? We're going to be thrown in there, and in the midst of that, we will see the Son of God and his glory in the midst of the fire, friend. What do you want to see? Jesus or you want to see your money? Which one is it? You going to be faithful to Jesus no matter what? Are you afraid that when they start doing whatever they do that you're going to bow? Are you a faith? Maybe God wants to burn that unfaithfulness that's in you right now out of you so you will be faithful to Jesus. Me, you, all of us. He wants to burn that unfaithful, adulterous spirit that has come upon us. We must resist it and not be like the whore who sells herself just so she can have something to eat. And sell herself out. Oh, God. When our eyes get open to that, we're going to run so far from that nonsense. We're going to trust Jesus and be faithful and loyal to him. It don't matter whether our God delivers us or not. We will not sell Jesus and his word. We will give the word of God. We will give Jesus to the world. For God so loved the world, he didn't sell Jesus. He said, I come to give him to the world. Yeah, I know. I'm on fire tonight. I'm getting more on fire all the time. I hope God changes me so much, y'all don't even recognize me anymore. I hope he changes me so much that I'm so changed that I'll be an example of change. I'll be an example of somebody who really messed up and didn't know it. And God really started to work on me and change me into a completely different person. And you're like, "Go, who is this guy? Where'd Randy go?" That's what I'm praying for. Yeah. Less of me and more Jesus. That's what John said. You know what the spirit of Elijah is? It's less of me and more him. Hallelujah. Woo! Who have you sold yourself out to, friend? You got that hyper-faith thing going on where you're buying stuff, getting stuff that you don't even need, that got something that God has nothing to do with, that lying, false, familiar spirit of getting something, though God never told you to get it. You were unfaithful to Jesus, and now you're in debt over your head. You can't get out, or you can't even be faithful to God. You got to sell your soul to the devil. You better cry out to God and get it back. You can't sell your soul to the devil because you've already been sold out to Jesus. But you can sell yourself out and miss your rewards. Because you got so loaded up with all that false doc, that hyper-faith bunch of nonsense that I was a part of myself. You start going out there, oh, yeah, by faith, by faith, by faith. It ain't faith. It's not faith talking because faith doesn't do stupid stuff. I've done some stupid stuff. No condemnation to nobody. The only way it's going to get right is not more money. It's more repentance. I love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth because I do love you. Yes, I do. And I know Jesus loves you. Whether my God delivers me or not, I'm not going to bow. Whether he delivers me or not, I will not bow by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And neither are you. All right, let's take callers tonight, see what's going on. Woo, hopefully the flames didn't put anybody to sleep tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, let's take callers tonight. Thanks for being with us. And we're going to go from caller to caller to caller, so just remember that. We're not going to talk, spend time talking. We're here tonight to dedicate this Wednesday night to praying for you. Go from one person to the next. If you have a really quick prayer request, make it really quick, please. Do not belabor. Do not unless I ask questions. Don't get too much conversation, please. And I think most of our people know that, but some may not yet. All right. So thank you for that. All right. All right. Here we go. Let's get ready tonight to hear. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. My first caller tonight, 662. All right, 662, we'll take you on first. And then my second caller will be 972. And third caller is 912. Next call at that 325. Two oh two, 214 with 288 added to it. We got 754 after that, 912 after that, 912 with a 318 on it. All right, and we got 240, 482. We have 612 after that. We have 214 with a 938 after that. We have 863 after that. So 803 after that. 863 and then 803. No, 803. Yeah, 863, 268, 803, and then 803 again with an 8, 803 with an 8. I'm getting it right. I'm doing better than I think. All right, 334 after that. 402 after that. 863 with an 808 on that after that. All right, then we got 312 after that. We got another 214. The same number, 214 with the 214 434 on that one. All right, 682 after that. 303 after that. 111 after that. No, 111 doesn't have the hand up. Never mind. 111 doesn't have their hand up. Sorry. Okay, so that's everybody's got their hand up right now, and we'll take, we'll come in if we go on here. All right, 682-806. Who am I talking to? What state are you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Cynthia from Mississippi.
Mississippi. All right, Cynthia. Thank you. All right, Cynthia. Cynthia. All right, thank you, Lord, for your. For your the growing, the new growth, God, like I see new growth, like when you have a tree, you know, when it starts sprouting during the, you know, after the winter and the spring comes and it starts, you know, budding forth, you know, new branches and budding forth new, you know, I see new things budding forth with you and springing forth in you, giving you more understanding of God, more understanding of who you are, no understanding of your purpose. And the plan of God, it's like I see things sprouting you about the plan of God. Because you're going to start seeing the plan. You're going to see your plan and purpose for God clearer than ever before because of your understanding of who he is and what's happening, how things work, and learn more about the ways of God. And you're going to find yourself finding the ways of God more than just, you know, the power of God, the ways of God. And those things are all like springing forth, like new branches springing up out of your up your, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Bringing forth out of the vine. More branches. There you go. All right, branching out. All right, 972-695, you want to talk to me from, please?
Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
All right, thank you, Lord. Well, I just thank you for the fire of God on my brother and sister God. I thank you, Lord. But they are not afraid to die for you. They're not afraid to live for you, Jesus. I thank you that Terrence and Tanisha, God, you're putting such a fire in them. That they're that thing like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's like, you know, even if our God doesn't deliver us, we're gonna serve you. Sometimes we go through those things where it seems like we get, you know, like Paul the Apostle got put in a position where he had a thorn in the flesh, and the thorn in the flesh was going away, right? It's not funny at all. But it's, you know, he just like kept praying, you know, praying. This thorn in the flesh is going to be gone from me in Jesus' name. And the thorn just kept manifesting. Why? Because God was teaching him how to live on grace. And it ended up changing his whole life and ministry and calling. It ended up causing the authority of God to grow in him like never before. But it is not what he wanted, right? He's like going, like, wow, what is this stuff, man? This thorn. He prayed. When Paul says he prayed three times that the thorn be taken away, you know, be removed from him. It's not like he didn't just go in Jesus' name three times. No, I mean, he went after it, boy. It's like, he went after it, man. Like, whoo-ah! When he prayed, it's like the hair stands up on the head, back of your neck. When you hear Paul pray about it, you know, it's like he was a war over it. Right? And so God's grace began to become magnified inside of him. And he goes to the Gentiles and, you know, and does all this stuff. And God just began to give him a new message, a message that no one had heard before, messages that no one had known or heard before. And thank you, Lord, for that with Terrence and Tanisha, God, in Jesus' name, to bless them and prosper them, to make them whole, God, to make them, the fire of God in them is so flamed up and so hot that wherever they go, the demons will cry out, why have you come to torment us? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God, the fire. All right, 912-398. You want to talk to your friend, please?
Paulette from Georgia.
Hi, Paulette. All right, Paulette. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Paulette. Father, I thank you for no compromise. God, I thank you for her heart that wants the full truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that any lie, and she didn't really care who's done what. It's like Jesus with the woman who was at the, when they brought that woman and threw her down and said, we caught her in the act of adultery. You know, it's like he didn't care, you know, what she had done. He came to forgive. He came to help her. He came to bless. And that's the way Paulette is, God. She wants people to live righteously, but when they get busted, when they got bondage, when they got problems, they got issues, okay, so they got issues. They had problems. All right, now we're going to move past that. We're going to move into the freedom and the liberty and the truth and the grace and the mercy in Jesus' name, because Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn people, like, you know, put them in prison or lock them up or kill them or stone them. I came to bring them life. Yeah, so I thank you, Lord, for that heart that you've given Paulette, Father, and that she will see that. She will learn how to pray that and believe that and know that. Declare and decree over her, even over her own children, to the people that want to stone, that wanted to stone that woman, said, you know, how many of you have not committed sin, right? Yeah, so God's going to give you a strategy how to pray, Paulette, and that whole thing of bringing condemnation on those who want to condemn, not help. Amen. They want to condemn and not help. We didn't get busted with our sin, but you did. So we're going to kill you. We're going to live until we get busted. We're going to be okay. No. How many of you have, you know, that, Lord, let them realize that their sin, so they don't condemn people. They do whatever it takes to help people. Sometimes harsh judgments have to be done. If it's going to help them, if it's going to bring them to a place of help. Amen. Jesus said, I didn't come to do that anymore. I don't come to lock up and, you know, but I came to help people in Jesus' name. Amen. They all got up and walked away. Amen. She got set free. All right. 325-280. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, brother. All right, Chris. Hi. I told you about Chris last week, how we had a time where he's texted me and asked me some questions, talk about some stuff. Man, I mean, God began to do, yeah, it was just amazing. Just amazing, bro. I mean, I still, like, look back at that. Was that last Friday or Saturday or something? I don't remember when that was. Maybe Thursday, last Wednesday. Anyway, somewhere in there. Yeah, I think it was Wednesday. Anyway, that was, to me, in the spirit realm, that was like a movement of God. You know, that was like God just, in your behalf, moving in there and just saying, I'm with you. I love you. I'm on your side. You're on my side. We're going to work this thing together. I'm teaching you. You're the student. You're learning. You're growing. I'm going to teach you the ways of God. That's why not just believing God for things to be over with, but to go through them and learn the ways that God's going to bring you through things. As you go through things and difficult seasons, difficult times, the things that you go through that you don't understand, are to teach you the ways of God. You can be like Moses, be like those who understood the ways of God. And it says Israel knew his power, but Moses knew understood his ways. And when you understand the way of something, like you understand the way of a motor, you know, or your brakes or whatever, if something breaks down, you know how to fix it because you know how it works. You know how this built that doesn't work, that's not working. You know exactly what the problem is. Why? Because you understand how the brake system is set up. When something shows up that's wrong, you know more than likely where it's coming from, and you just get in there and you fix it because you know the ways of a thing. And God's showing you his ways, opening up his ways to you so that God can make a way where there seems to be no way. But God wants to use you, dude, to make a way where there seems to be no way. And the supernatural, that's what that whole thing was about, that with the snake thing, all that. I think I gave you that word on. That was a Wednesday, and then on Thursday, I think you texted me, said the next day, after I saw you on Wednesday, I said, I see you, you know, put your foot, you're stomping on a snake's head or stomping on a snake or something like that, some of that effect. And so the very next day, that snake showed up, you know, again in your front yard, and you shot him, and you find yourself doing that very thing. And then that whole thing, man, that was God saying, I'm teaching you my ways. I am teaching you my ways that you will understand that in an instant, in a moment, I can start showing you, opening something. Just like that, boom, 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 supernatural, and all of a sudden there's a way made where there seemed to be no way. Yeah, in Jesus' name, and that's the whole thing about that. Amen, in Jesus' name. Congratulations on that, Val. That's amazing. Woo, the ways of God. You know, yeah, because when you think about the ways of God, when you know the ways of God, then a way can be made. You know, if some person who doesn't understand how a brake works, they're not going to know what's going on. Well, you know, it's not working. They're going to like, I don't have a clue. Let's take it to the shop and pay somebody else to do it. Right? Because they don't understand. So what you do is when you understand the ways of something, you can diagnose things. You can, you know, say, okay, just tell me, oh, okay, that, what else is going on? Well, when I did this happened. Okay, I know exactly what it is. You know, and then you make a way where there seems to be, you find the problem. You find the answer when nobody else can. When that person can't find the answer, you make a way where there seems to be no way. That realm of the spirit. Hot 202-722. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
All right, awesome. Good to have you guys. All right, y'all getting way too serious, man. Way too serious. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul, Father, and Chris. We thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul and Chris. what does that mean, Daryl Paul and Chris? Daryl Paul and Nicole. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for the offering, God, teaching them how to offer up and yield over things. And sometimes when we come to a place in where we don't know how to move forward, where we don't know how to fix something or how to make something work, that we just yield it over to God. And we don't have to – we yield everything to God, but sometimes it's not about yielding over to God because you know how to do it. You know how to, you know, make the thing work or whatever. But in yielding something over to God means, you know, you come to a place where you don't know what to do. And we come to places that we don't know what to do. We just need to admit the fact that we don't know what to do. The Bible says that in Romans 8, that when we don't know how to pray as we ought, which means sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought, we don't know how to pray. Spirit inside of us intercedes on our behalf to help us find the answer. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for bringing those things that anything they come across, whether it be business, friendships, the love realm, the realm of working thing, you know, working together on stuff, whatever the thing is, God, that whatever place they come to where they seem to be at a stop or at a wall, that God, they just stop and they go, yeah, we're at one of those places and we don't know what to do. Usually, you know, we know what to do. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Now we don't know what to do. Lord, we just thank you and we yield it to you. Thank you for bringing us to the other side of this thing. We know that we trust you. You are our source. We yield to you because we know that you're God. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that Daryl Paul, God, learns how to do that more and more and more. That Nicole learns how to do that more and more and more. It's all about yielding. yielding. Sometimes we just get up and we go. We know we're going to get up, we're going to pray, we're going to go to work, we're going to do whatever, we're going to do our thing during the day. And we've got a schedule, we've got stuff going on. We kind of know what we know how to do that kind of thing. But in the process of all that, whatever we run across at work or in friendships or business or whatever we're doing, and we don't know what to do, don't know what to invest in, we don't know what to invest our time in, we don't put, then we get stumped and we say, Jesus, you know, we're stumped. And he goes, yeah, okay, I'm going to help you out. We're going to work this thing. We're going to work through this thing. I'm going to show you the way through it, And you're going to start seeing more of everything as at the stopping point, the hindrance or the battle as a new way you're going to learn how to get through something, a new way to get through things. I mean, God's going to give you wisdom on how to get through things, because a lot of people get stumped all the time, and they don't know how to yield to God to get the answer. Amen. To admit to God, I don't know how to pray. I don't even know what to do with this. What do we do with this? Thank you, Lord. You're going to show us, and He shows you because you yield to Him. And I thank you, Lord, for that victory in their life, God. I thank you for that victory in every area, for victory in every area, God. In Jesus' name, spirit, soul, body, socially, mentally, relationally, financially, in Jesus' name, for they are blessed, God, in Jesus' name, blessed in the name of Jesus. They find favor wherever they go, favor, because they're the kind of people that even when they run across a problem, they're not afraid of problems, they're not afraid of those things, because they know that they're going to find a way to get through it with God's help. Amen. From Daryl Paul and Nicole. All right, 214-288, who am I talking to you from, please?
Daniel from Texas.
Oh, hey, Daniel. My brother, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for the fire of God, Lord, that what goes on, Daniel, is that we get breakthroughs, and then that breakthrough actually creates a fire. It creates a fire. And in that fire, we just, you know, it's like we're going like, oh, wow, I got a breakthrough, and now I'm in the fire. Not the fire of bad fire, but the fire of God begins to flame up. And when the fire shows up, it starts causing people. Well, I don't remember Daniel having that fire on him. Do you remember Daniel having that fire? Like he's had a fire on him, but not like that. Has he ever had the fire like that? Y'all feeling something different with him? And it causes things to just come out of the woodwork, you know. And why? Because that's what the fire does. But it's a good thing, because things that need to be brought into the open that are hidden, you know, that you don't know, that you haven't been able to see before, the fire causes them to expose themselves. The fire causes the unclean things that are trying to mess you up around you, whatever trying to stop you and hinder you, that those things begin to cry out. They can't control themselves. When the fire's burning through you, brother, it's like they go, help me. They start screaming, help me. Why have you come to torment us before our time? Like they start, they can't hide any longer. Like they just start, they got to say, here we are right here. You know, what are we going to do now? Are we going to run? Yeah. Because they begin to manifest themselves, because the fire does that. God's showing you that when you get breakthroughs are about fire. They're about the flame of God in you beginning to flicker. You know, like we got the candelabra, we got the inner the spirit of man. The Bible says in Proverbs, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And sometimes we get more than one candle burning. And when you get all seven candles burning, well, you know, sometimes it creates a lot of light. And when the light begins to burn, the things that are in darkness start coming out that we didn't even know were there, right? Yeah. Happens with all of us. The whole world is full of all this stuff. It can happen with business people around us, friends, happen with ourselves, happen with neighbor, it can mean anything. And God can show you how to handle that and deal with that so you can progress further and further, and the fire in you gets hotter and hotter, right, where things can't be hidden from you. Things that where the devil's trying to hide can no longer hide. Because as soon as you step up on the scene, like Jesus stepped up, you know, the fire of God in him, the fire of God in you, the Holy Spirit in you, burning. They start going, they start coming at you, who are you? What are you doing here? You know, they can't hide anymore. And you see them and you know them. And you go, yeah, in the name of Jesus, come out. In the name of Jesus, be gone. In the name of Jesus. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that fire in Jesus' name in his life, and that it's increasing more and more all the time, God. The fire that's already been there, it's just increasing and gonna flame up and cause those things that have been hidden to come forth. We can see them so he can break through and go further and further and go deeper and deeper into the territory of God's will, where he cannot be stopped because God is with him in Jesus' name. The enemy can't stand that fire, bro. Amen. But with that fire comes struggle and battle, but in that battle comes victories, great victories. Amen. You are victorious in Christ. All right, 75424, can I talk to your friend, please? Hello. Hi, 754, you there? I believe that's Donald and Tanya. We'll pray for them. Thank you, Lord, for Donald and Tanya tonight. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for Donald and Tanya. Thank you for Donald tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for that place of surrender, of you know, God giving you patience to, you know, and learning how to rest. Part of what you're going through is learning how to rest. And, you know, rest not, sometimes we rest our body, but we don't rest our mind. Sometimes we rest our mind, but we don't rest our, you know, other parts of our life. So we have to learn to enter, have a Sabbath. And the Sabbath is not, is something that we do, you know, on a, once a week. You know, we're supposed to rest one time a week. We need to really learn how to rest and not just rest our body, but rest our minds. Because if we don't rest our minds, then our minds, if our mind doesn't get rest, then it starts getting anxiety and stressed up and built up. Our body may be fine, but our mind is, you know, stressing out because it's, you know, it's not resting once a week. It's made to rest. And when it rests once a week, then, you know, when we go to sleep at night, our brain can go to sleep at night easier. Why? Because we did that Sabbath thing. We learned how to not just rest our body, but rest our mind. So when we sleep at night, you know, we rest at night, we go to sleep instead of tossing and turning and, and so this whole thing about resting in God and learning how to take your Sabbath, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and with God, so that in the rest of the week, 6 days a week, you're running strong, you're thinking clear, you're sleeping good, you know, you're resting well, and you're strong, and your body's recovering. I mean, people don't take their Sabbath, take it once a week, time, some or another. I don't care what you got going on, how much money you need. If you don't take your Sabbath, you're going to find yourself where one of these days, it may take a few years, you're going to be sick. You're going to find yourself having some kind of something because your body has to recover. And the Sabbath, taking that Sabbath day, whatever it's Saturday or Sunday or Monday or whenever it is for you, one day a week. If you don't do that, your body's not recovering and restoring. And therefore, there's things in you that your immune system is not taking care of because your immune system also functions by the rest and health. Help that you give it through resting. Amen. Yeah. So the whole thing works together for good. Amen. In Jesus' name. Bless. That's Tanya, God. The same thing in her mind that she will be able to rest her mind, God. And that's why Jesus told, you know, do nothing with anxiety and stress, that in all things, you know, in prayer and thanksgiving. And so that's learning in leaning into that rest, learning how to rest with God. Is because sometimes we don't, if we let things build up with us, when you got a lot going on, things can build up fast. That's why we daily bread means get fed daily from the Lord. We also give our stress levels to God daily and learn how to do that every day. Because if we don't, pretty soon at the end of the week, we hadn't done it, or maybe a month later or 3 months later, whoa, it's built up and built up and built up and built up. And pretty soon, 3 months later, 3 weeks later, 3 years later, you know, we have a blowout. And so that's what we want to save. Is save that, save ourselves from that. So thank you, Lord, that we learn to rest, and we pray. We don't pray. We pray in thanksgiving, and all that. Amen. Enter into the rest of God. All right, 912. Hang on a second. 912-318. And I'll talk to you, come, please. All right, 912-318. Are you there? Hello.
Yes. This is Robert and Sandra from Georgia.
Hey, Robert and Sandra. All right, good to have you guys. All right, thank you. Well, I thank you for Robert tonight, God. I thank you for Robert's life, God, that you called him and chosen him to know you, to you picked him to be a man, to be the man of the house, to be the man who lays his life down. The man who, like Christ, you know, is so full of love that you bring Robert into that love realm, God, in a brand new way that he understands love, not just some emotional thing only, but as a but as a power to give, the power to understand, the power to, you know, forgive. In Jesus' name, that we thank you, Lord, for that realm that he brings you, bringing him more and more, deeper and deeper, to the height and the width and the breadth and the length of the love of God, Father, that he will understand that more and more and more, how to tap into Christ's love so that he can be strong. This love is able to conquer all things. It forgives easily. It understands. It has compassion. You know, it also stands up strong and will tell the truth in love. And when it tells the truth in love. Amen. It's strong, but with long, strong love. Thank you, Lord, for showing him that love is not weak and love is not cowardly. Love is not telling somebody. Love is telling the truth and speaking it, but speaking it in love and strength and compassion. Amen. And he's doing that, Father, and he's going to do that more and more and more. He's moving into that height and width and length and breadth and the depth of the love of the Father. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for Sandra, God, that fatherly thing with her, Father, that she identifies you as Father more and more and more, and that's a beautiful way that I see that the Father relationship between you and God the Father, that that you find yourself, you know, being able to let your daddy love you, let your daddy, you know, that your daddy has inheritance for you. That's what our fathers do, even though we may be married, we still have a father. Our Father, you know, has an inheritance for us, has cares for us like nobody else does. You know, your husband cares for you in a certain way, loves you in a certain way, but a father loves a daughter in a way that no other love is. The love of a father and a daughter are very special. And I thank you, Lord, that you open that up and show that she's made to be loved by her father, which even helps her be loved by her husband, helps her to love her husband and be loved by her husband's father, helps that relationship, God, more and more all the time. But that father relationship in Jesus' name is a lot about provision of comfort, the provision of, you know, strength, the provision of I'll do what's best for you, even when you don't know what's best for you, and it will be good for you, and you will see it. It's about the provision of the inheritance from the Father, God, in Jesus' name, that she knows that her Father has an inheritance for her. In Jesus' name, and she doesn't go for the inheritance just alone, but, of course, for the love of the Father, and that love always has an expectation of provision, always. The love between a father and his children is all intermingled with provision. It's all intermingled. It's part of it, and so I thank you, Lord, for bringing all that together in a very powerful way in Jesus' name to draw that provision from him in. Amen. All right. All right, 240-482, who am I talking to you from, please? All right, air code 240-482. Good Lord. All right, are you there? All right, Valerie, thank you, Jesus, for Valerie tonight. I think she maybe fall asleep, got to go to work or something. Thank you, Lord, for Valerie. Just bless her tonight, Jesus. Bless her with happiness, God. Bless her with comfort. Bless her with knowing that the spirit of worry and the spirit of fear that tries to, it's always trying to hit all of us. As it tries to hit her, God, you're showing her how to have her armor on, where she doesn't yield to that, where she doesn't yield to the fear, and causing her to draw inward instead of drawing outward to God. We draw inward to God. We draw inward to the Lord in Christ in this hope of glory, but not inward for ourselves for strength, but inward for in Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for showing her how to draw strength from you, God, to protect her from anxiety and stress. That we all go through stress. We all have, you know, stress as part of life. But Lord, I thank you that you're teaching her how to draw nigh to you in thanksgiving and praise, and as she does that, she's going to find herself having peace, even when she says, I don't think I should have peace about this, but she got peace about it because she's drawing nigh to the Father and the Father's drawing nigh to her. And I thank you, Jesus, that Valerie is finding that place of confidence, God, that you are with her, you're providing for her, and that all she has to do is just love you. You know, think about that, Valerie. And you realize that the key to the provision of God in every way is to love the Lord. It's just that simple. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul. right? And when you do that, it's going to come, and you start realizing, I love my daddy. I love my Lord. I love Jesus. I love God. Wow. I mean, because I do, you know, and I know he loves me. Is he? You wouldn't even think about him not providing for you. You wouldn't even let that thought come, because it would be like being unfaithful to him almost, in a sense, you know what I mean? So I thank you, Lord, for that you're teaching her how to walk in that love, how to realize she is love, to love herself as her neighbor. It means that she takes care of herself, ministers herself, make sure that she's strong, take care of. Amen, in Jesus' name. And so I thank you, Lord, that you are opening her up to that place of opening up to that place of learning how to trust you and know that you're, because when we really do believe that God loves us, when we really do believe it, it's a lot harder to worry. It's a lot harder to stress out, right? Doesn't mean sometimes that we don't, but we start thinking, you know, that's what Jesus told Peter. What was the answer to his thing about denying Jesus? What was the old thing? What did Jesus want from him? What was the answer? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Lord, just think about that. As a woman, think about how women love to love. To love Jesus, knowing that he's going to take care of you. Amen. He's going to nurture you and cause you to not let the enemy cause you to worry and be, you know, have anxiety and stress. Woo! Yeah, I take some of that. Thank you, Jesus, for that love ramp, God. That love ramp. The love of the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind, and all the understanding, all your body, everything, God. Thank you, Jesus. And then we just know that you're going to provide. We know you're going to take care of us. You know you're going to bring those people into our lives that we need, that love into our lives. Amen? Yeah. God so loved the world that he gave his son. Why? So that he could give us what we need. Gave Jesus so he could be connected to us to give us whatever we need. Amen. All right, 612-991, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Joyce from Minnesota.
Hi, Joyce. Hi, Joyce. Hi. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Joyce tonight. Thank you, Lord, for that new nature, God. The new nature. You know, behold, all things are made new. I thank you, Jesus, that you're showing her that part of her that's brand new. We have a part of us that never gets old anymore. Our soul may get old. We may have old thoughts, old feelings, old things. But our spirit man, he's brand new all the time. He never gets old. He just grows stronger and more glory and goes from glory to glory. Amen. And so I thank you, Lord, for letting her, helping her to tap into that new thing every day, new stuff, new to get a hold of a new nature, the new nature that we have in Christ. We got born again. We got a new nature. And the big battle that we are fighting is really about that new nature. When that new nature is kicked in, we trust more. When that new nature is activated and working and living and flowing through us, we just know that we know that God's going to do, you know, be good to us and take care of us and meet our every need. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. For opening that up, that new part of us that's seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. We're two places at once. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're here on the earth. Wow, what an amazing phenomenon that is. But you're still, that's part of you. You are seated with him. That's that new part of you that always has new, never has anything old. The old, all things become new in your spirit, man, and that's a part of you that's been recreated in Christ. It doesn't need to be renewed. Doesn't need to be restored. It already is. It grows and grows and grows, but your soul learns to trust, learns to drink of that new creation that we are. Amen in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are more together than people in heaven. People in heaven don't have their bodies, right? They've gone to heaven. Why? Because they died. Their physical body died. They leave their body here, and they go to the storage tank. Beautiful, glorious storage tank of heaven. Amen. And yet their bodies. So, but when we're here, we're alive. We have our bodies. And our spirit, man, is seated with Christ. Man, when you get a hold of that, you start realizing that that's what's really going on, that you're more whole now than you would if you went to heaven. Hallelujah. The only thing is, you just wouldn't have your body, because your body's not with you. You know, when you're in heaven, you see clear, but, you know, you're still not whole, right? You're still not whole. You have to come back for your body someday in the resurrection. But thank you, Jesus, that while we're in, while Joyce is in her body, that she will start recognizing and knowing and understanding her priesthood, her calling, God, that she is a part of this brand spanking new, that's new every morning, it's always new, and we can always drink of that new. Anytime we're feeling old and decrepit and whatever we're feeling like sometimes, we can drink of our new nature in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Teach her how to drink, God, how to enjoy, how to let that new nature become more real and more real to her all the time. Amen. All right. 214-938, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Loretta from Texas.
Oh, hi, Loretta. Hi, Loretta. Good to have you. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Loretta tonight. Jesus, I thank you for that special place, for special miracles, God, that she has a place in her heart to believe for special things. She likes to do special things for people, surprise people, bring people surprises. She likes to be surprised. She likes to surprise people. She loves to see that look on their face when they're surprised, like, look what you did for me. Oh, my gosh. Loretta, you're so awesome. You're so, like, that whole thing. But I thank you, Lord, for that thing to water that, to nurture that, God, where it's not just, you know, giving a birthday gift or surprise somebody with a little present or some little something, some little, you know, act of love. But, God, that it be in the realm of miracles, in the realm of the supernatural realm, and God, where she will connect to that. Do special miracles. The Bible says that God did special miracles through the hands of Paul. And I thank you, Lord, that you open her up to that special place with you. That she realized that she's special because she's your child. You've made her. In other words, there's nobody like her, right? You know what that makes you? That makes you special, right? That makes you like nobody else. In that sense, you are special. Right? And when you realize that, you realize God has the same thing for other people. And you live to make them feel special, make them feel that specialness about them. They're just not just another number on the earth. No, like the Antichrist, it's all going to be about numbers. But with God, it's all about your name. He calls you by name. Special, the special rep, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, 863-268, you want to talk to your friend, please?
Hey, Randy, it's Nikki from Florida. Can we please pray for Stephanie?
Yes, we can. All right, thank you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Stephanie, God. We thank you, Lord, for her life, God. We thank you, Lord, for any of the attacks that are trying to come at her, Father, that she will understand that no weapon formed against her shall prosper. But every tongue that rises against her in judgment, she shall learn to condemn it, whether it be from some compromised thing of, you know, with the will of God being compromised or trying to be compromised, that her life is being compromised, that her dwelling place with God is compromised, that she will rise up in Jesus' name. The only people that are going to protect you, Stephanie, is going to be you and God. You yielding to God, you saying what God says. Now, other people pray for you and all that, and that's all great. But you know what? David learned how to build himself up and how to encourage himself in the Lord. Sometimes we're in a place where, you know, we feel out there alone, whatever, and we have to learn how to, you know, build ourselves up. So I thank you, Jesus, for that place where she can build herself up. No, learn how to do that, God. Amen. She's not dependent on anybody to do that but you. Now, it may happen with other people, and we'll be grateful that it is, but Lord, your teacher, Jesus, that she can learn how to do warfare in a brand new way. God, that the fire of God in her life, it's a fire in our altar burns, our worship, our love for you, God, burns. That it has a way of causing the snakes and the vipers and the animals. You know, like you get out in a forest and you're out there camping. You know, they tell you to build a fire and it keeps the vipers and the all the creatures away. They don't like fire. The fire, you know, scares them. So thank you, Jesus, for that, let her understand fire. Hallelujah. Let the flame of your fire, your love, God, burn within her, Jesus. She loves you more than ever. Amen. And finds comfort in you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. She's a faithful and loyal bride of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And for Nikki tonight, God, we thank you for Nikki. God, we thank you for everything she's going through. God, we thank you for the fire that she's going through. But we thank you that that everything we go through, we give it to you. The enemy may mean it for evil, but God, you're going to mean it for good. It's like we talk about all the time, but I speak this literally over her life, that what the enemy would mean for evil, that literally God, just like Joseph, God means it for good. Because what Joseph went through, Nikki, as you know, brought him into a place of understand his relationship with God. When he finally stood in his breakthrough moment with Pharaoh and was standing there in the time of will he do the right thing or will he mess up? Will he do what's going to? He's finally, after years and years and years, he's standing before Pharaoh. They just cleaned him up, brought him out of prison. He didn't know if he was going to go back to prison the next day or what was going to happen, but he stood before Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, I heard that you can interpret dreams. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, well, you know, not me. I don't have any of it. It's God. If God chooses, it will be. So right away, you know, he passed that test, and that was a big test. And from then on, he connected with God. God was able to give answers that opened the door for him. And I thank you, Jesus, for that Joseph understood that what Satan meant for evil, God was meaning it for good. Yeah, we got to realize that's the truth, that Satan doesn't mean it for evil. He means to destroy. He means to, and that it's a serious thing. But we also know that because Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord, it's like when he finally came before Pharaoh, that same connection to God and that, you know, understanding that without God he couldn't do anything was still with him all those years of trouble and battle. It was stronger than ever. Oh, but, oh, King, you don't understand. If God gives it to me, I will. If he doesn't, it won't be. But he knew that more than anybody. He'd been through lots of seeming failure over and over again. And he just kept, you know, with his questions and all this stuff, asking God, trusting God, believing God, being faithful to God. And then finally one day it came forth. Amen. He realized, well, Satan was for evil. God literally made it work for good. We thank you, Lord, for that in her life in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 334-590. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Sheila from New York.
I'm sorry, say it again, please.
Sheila in New York.
Oh, Sheila. Okay, how'd you? I'm sorry. I know the number for you. It's a lot going on. Thank you, Sheila. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Jayla. We thank you, Lord, for the confidence, God, that you're putting in her, that her confidence is not in herself, but it is in God. Sometimes we try to get confidence in ourselves, but then eventually what God does is he shows us so much that he's with us that we have great confidence, like Joseph, great confidence that God was with us, not in ourselves, not confidence in ourselves, but great confidence that God was with us in whatever we need. Whatever we don't understand, whatever we don't have, we know he has it. We know he's right here with us, and he's got the answer, and he's going to show it to us. And I thank you, Jesus, for that the confidence level. You show her how confidence works. It's not confidence in us. It's confidence in God, that is knowing that he is with us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? How can somebody not fear evil when they walk through the valley of the shadow of death? They're right on the brink of death. Like, how can you not fear it? Because you know what? God was with them. Amen. God is with me. And I thank you, Jesus, for that whole realm of her confidence is knowing that God is with her. In Jesus' name. Not that her abilities, not that she does, not, it's not about doing everything perfect. You know, it's about knowing that God is with you. It's that thing about Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God with you, God with you. May God open you up to that realm of confidence that comes from God being with you. Amen. Learning how, that's one of the things, Jada, with me is like over the years, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how I was doing it. I would do my best to obey God, and I wasn't sure if I did it all perfect or not. And then I found out that I did. I went, wow. And it wasn't because I knew I had it all figured out. And somehow or another, you know, in the back of my heart, in the front of my heart, the side of my heart, I'm going like, God, you know, you're going to have to help me do this. I can't do it. So you just go at it and trust in God. And it just so happens that he's helping you with it. And you start getting confidence that he's with you. And that's where our confidence comes from. All right, 402-650, who am I talking to you from, please? 402-650. Hello. Okay. Yeah. Oh. Yes, you are after the last minute. Okay. 803-991. What did I just do? I don't even know what I did. Did I skip down? Oh my gosh, I almost skipped. Yes.
That's okay. Hey, Randy.
You know me. You know me by now. You never know when I'm going to mess up. Right? But you also never know when I'm going to get something right, neither.
Right.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, people know me after a while. So, you know, Randy, you know, he's okay, but sometimes he messes up a little bit. But we're gonna help him, and because we help him, he always receives our help. And he gets it right. Eventually. Thank you. Angela knows that. Thank you, Angela, for your confidence in God. All right. And 402. I don't know how I get down at 402. How did I do that? That's like 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, I don't know how I did that. And I also got 334. 334 must have been sneaking in there. I don't know. Shayla. All right. So here we are. We're family, right? We understand. Thank you, Jesus. All right, 803. You got me laughing. You get me laughing, girl. I don't know what it is about you, but it's just something there. Hallelujah. Now I can't even pray, right? I'm going to blame all this on you, of course. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Angela. Thank you, God, for the heart you've given her, God, to be a servant, a helper, to help. Whatever you need help doing, I'll help you do it. And so I think it's just that part of her that is so beautiful that wants to be servant, wants to help, serve. Is that part of her that Jesus talks about, that he who serves, if you want to be great, he who serves becomes great, you know. You want to be great? Serve. Learn to serve. And I thank you, Lord, that her ability to understand and serve and love and help people be successful and believe God for their success as much as hers, but that's the very thing that's going to make her successful, God. Amen. And Jesus, people are going to realize about Angela, like, she's out for your good. She's out for your good. She's out for your good. So because she's out for your good, you want her around you. And I thank you, Lord, for that in her life. And I ask you to pray, Jesus, that's Christ in her. We all have our little selfish parts about us. We all do that. But you know what? We don't have to live there, right? Right. We don't have to live there. So I thank you, Lord, that Angela lives in that place, God, more and more and more and more, the glory of God. It's always about, and that's what truly Jesus meant by being a servant, and that's what makes you great. Because when you're out for people's best, that was what was so awesome, Angela, about Jesus. That when they hung around him long enough, they realized that he was there to make them their best, to help them. He had their best interest at heart, even if he was correcting them. They understood, even when he got tough with them sometimes, but it was for they knew that it was for their best interest. Amen. Even when Jesus came to that point where he says, and everybody left him when he says, eat my blood and drink my flesh. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, remember that? And they all got up and walked out, and the disciples go, well, Jesus said, well, are you guys leaving too? They said, well, you know, we don't have anywhere else to go. We don't have anywhere else to go. You know, you're the only one we know of that has life. And so we just trust you, Jesus. Because they knew that he had their best interest at heart. Where else are they going to go? Where else are you going to find people like that? Amen. Thank you for Angela. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Thanks for catching me on that.
I'm glad you did.
All right. 863-808. Can I talk to you from, please?
This is your fire-breathing servant from Florida.
Let's see. Who could that be?
Lord.
Let me think for a second. All right. Sherilina, that's what her name is. Sherilina. Sherilina on the Lord. Sherilina on the Lord. Something like that. The fire breathing. There you go. I love that, man. That's some sweet Jesus stuff, that fire breathing. Yeah, like, you know, and what's so amazing about that you're talking about that is, like, every time I think about that, I think, well, you know, it didn't do it, as you know, because people didn't like them, because they disagree with them. No, it's when they tried to stop them, right? That's when it came out, when they tried to kill them or stop them from doing God's will. It's like, that was their protection. They were hot lips. Oh, my God. Hot lips. That's what we're going to call. We're not going to call you hot lips. We'll call somebody else hot lips, but it sounds really, you know what I'm talking about, hot lips, like two witnesses. I don't know where that went, but anyway. Hot lips. Oh. Hot lips. Woo! That just came right out, man. That is so funny. That is absolutely hilarious. Hot lips. I guess the Lord knows I need a laugh tonight. I tell you, some of the stuff we go through, right? Yeah, we need to laugh sometimes. Hot lips. Where did that hot lips thing come from? Wasn't that like Hot Lips Callahan or Hot Lips? Okay, help me, Jesus. All right, stop it. Stop that. Chandler, behave. I don't want to behave. Okay. You don't have to. All right. I'm talking to myself. You know, notice that? I just talked to myself. I rebuke myself. And then I said, well, okay, you don't have to do that. I go, okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for fire-breathing hot lips. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, it's like people can disagree with us and not like us, but when they try to stop us, it's just something that just gets stirred up. It's a fire, right? Like it's a fire. Oh, God, I'm starting to feel the fire. These people must be trying to stop the will of God or something through me. I don't know. Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, your lips get on fire, and they say, oh, there's hot lips. You go, yeah. And the fire, you know, and the fire is just anything that tries to stop the will of God, you know, stop it, just stop it. God does not allow his will to be stopped. And that's one thing, you know, I think that maybe we're on to tonight is that too. The fire breathing woman of God from Florida is like, you know, like you realize that if you know, and honestly, God, when I think about that, I've been thinking about that today. We talked about that last night, the last few nights, about how the fire comes out of their mouth. You know, you start realizing that, you know, either God is with me or he is. I mean, you start coming to the point where you realize, you know, okay, all the enemies, you know, like when Elijah had all those people surround him, going to take him down. You know, he was just at the point where he knew, man. He knew God was with him. I mean, I don't know how long it took him to get there to that place, but he was. He told the servant, he said, hey, man, God, open up his eyes so he can see. You know, he could just see, you know. So what? He wasn't worried about it. He had more fire around him with those angels than they had firepower with their weapons and bows and arrows that the king surrounded. Elijah's like, man, what are you worried about? Then my boys will take care of them boys easy. Yeah, they're fire. So start getting that confidence that God's with you. And so and what happens with me is when I go through thoughts and fear tries to hit me about, you know, some, you know, powerful person, you know, coming against you and whatever, that you start realizing, you know, you start starting to fear a little bit. You go, well, what am I doing? You know, God, you're either with me or you're not. And so, and that's what you come to. It's like, you're either with me or you're not. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Kind of like, God, you're either with us or you're not. So even if you don't deliver us, we're not going to bow, right? And then the fire. And so the fire on them was hotter than the fire that they got thrown into. And when that's the case, ain't no fire going to take you down, baby. Ain't nothing going to take you down. You know why? Because you know God's going to protect you. And if it's your time to go, you go. You don't even worry about it. If it's my time, it's my time. If it ain't, I ain't going. When you realize that, when you got a hold of that, when we really get that inside of us as a church, we're not going to be afraid of death. Fear of death draws death to us all the time. Always drawing fear of death to us. Always drawing us into those valleys of the shadow of death. We're always having to go through the thing. You know what? You know, I don't fear evil. I don't fear death. Because you know what? God is with me. He's either with me or he ain't. And if he ain't, I want him to be. And if he, whatever it takes to get there, that's what I want. And I thank you for that with Cheryl, God. Whatever it takes. In Jesus' name, that's what we want. We want you to be with us no matter what. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. I'll probably laugh all about that off and on that. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. That's funny. All right. Okay. 402-650. I'm going to go back to 402. I think I just skipped over everybody and went right to them. Are you there? 402-650? Yeah, that's why I put those hot lips to the hand. There it is. Cheney. Oh, my God. Hot lip Houlihan, that's what it is. But except, you know, MASH, is that what that is? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that means exactly. But when people have people that are in the world before they come to Jesus, they have a hot passion for love. You know, that what they're born to be, when you realize when they get saved, like the woman who was caught in the act of adultery, she was born for a passion. And the reason she was doing this is because she was born for passion. She just needed to be set free by Jesus. And when she got set free, brother, I mean, my God, you know, she became a lover of Jesus like nobody else. And people, and she had to live with that thing. I mean, they kept that in the Bible, you know, that she was, she was caught in the act of adultery. What was the thing? Because she was a nasty person. And I think it had very little, I think Jesus understood it had nothing to do with that. She had a passion for love, and she didn't know how to fulfill it until he got a hold of her. And she goes, she looks at him and goes, you're the one I've been looking for, Jesus. I'm a lover. I want you to love me. I want love. And she finally ran across. What happened to me when I got born again? The first thing that happened to me when I got born again, I said, God, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life, and I was looking for love, and I just realized for the time, you are truly the one I've been looking for. Never knew it. Hallelujah. People that are like that in the world, it's when they're in the world, they can't help it. They're lovers. They want to be loved. They want to love and be loved. They want an atmosphere of great love. What is that noise? Anyway, this is going all over the place tonight, y'all. This is what God's saying. He said, man, I've called my people to love me and to bless me and to...
Hello?
Yeah. Jesus. All right, 402-650. Who am I talking to you from, please? Are you there, 402? Hello? This is Dustia from Canada? That's got to be who it is. I don't know if that matters. I have to know that. All right. Thank you, Lord, for my brother tonight, God. We thank you, Jesus, for Dustia. Thank you, Lord, for administering your compassion, Father, and your love. In Jesus' name, your power and your mercy. God, your powerful love, God, through my brother tonight, in Jesus' name, for Dustia from Canada. And thank you, Jesus. And Jesus, thank you, Lord, for that. He's not a compromiser, God. He is a faithful, loyal person in your hands. He's a faithful, loyal person you're teaching him how to, just like Thomas. When Thomas got it confirmed that Jesus Christ did raise from the dead, from then on he was born to die if he had to. He was born to do whatever he had to do. Like it didn't matter. Whatever the price needs to be, I'll pay it. Because I know that the Messiah is real. And that's what God's been doing in Dustia. that you're bringing to a place to where you know that he's alive and that he's real and that he really is who he says he is, because you're getting that revelation of him. You're willing to, if you have to die, whatever you got to do, you don't really care. You're going to serve Jesus no matter what. And I thank you, Lord, that God's looking for people like that, that are lovers, that are willing to die for that love. In Jesus' name, amen for Dasha. Amen. All right, 863-808, can I talk to you, friend, please?
Brother Charles Lakeland. I mean, Overdale.
Well, you got to know where you live. I can't minister to you, sir. Who is this?
Brother Charles from Florida.
Okay. All right. I guess. Okay. Amen. I guess the brother who was. Thank you. I think Charles hard time for sure. We're brothers. My brother. I'm probably from the same mother. You never know. Anyway. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I think this whole thing about the brotherhood, that God's called you to the brotherhood, to gather the brothers together. Amen. Have a brotherhood party. Amen. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for Charles. And he has a identification with the brothers. Amen. In Jesus' name, for he knows how to talk to them, knows how to minister to them, knows how to let them know that, there's a purpose for their life. And when they realize they got a purpose from God in their life, it changes the way they think about it. They start seeing Jesus as their brother, not only as their Lord and Savior, but as their brother, the brother who laid his life down for them, the brother who, the big brother, who makes sure that, you know, that whatever went on, that they got taken care of, that kind of brother, the kind of brother that closer than a brother. Amen. And that whole realm about being closer than a brother, in Jesus' name, and meeting the needs, God, helping them to connect brothers to Jesus as their brother. Because when you identify the Lord as your brother, you can identify him as your Lord. That's one amazing thing. But you identify him as your brother. He's your daddy. God is your daddy. But there's that brother realm, that whole brother realm. I thank you, Lord, for that. But to use my brother to raise up the brothers, in Jesus' name, to identify the brothers in the name of Jesus. They will know that they are brothers with Jesus, most pure, unadulterated person, never sinned, never failed, and yet laid his life down so he could have brothers. He wants brothers. Amen. That being birthed in my brother, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 312-841, 312-841. Can I talk to you, please? All right, 312-841, are you there? Okay. Marjorie from Illinois. Thank you for Marjorie tonight, God. Thank you, Lord, for that love realm with her, God, that you're bringing her into that realm of love, that place of love, God, where she's not just loved by God and know that God loves her, but she's going to know that there's people that love her, there's a special person in her life that loves her. God, we thank you, Jesus, for that wisdom and that revelation, the knowledge of Christ. Yeah. Hang on a second, Marjorie. Margaret, God, I think for that love ramp for her father, that, truly love is the greatest. We'd all rather have love than anything else. If you got love, you don't even need money. When you have love and you have money, it's good too, right? Yeah, that way we don't love money. We don't have to go after money. Money comes after us. Because when we love and with love, you know, blessings just flow. That's the thing about it that causes blessings to flow to us is walking in love. I mean, when you feel love, you just draw stuff to you. I mean, even in the human realm of having your first love when you were a kid, I remember, you know, you didn't care about anything, but just like, it seemed like everything worked out, things didn't bother you. Why? Because you had that love going on. You were wealthy with love. You loved, you felt love, you felt, you know, like, just wow. And I thank you, Lord, for that whole love realm for Marjorie God, that you draw her into that place where the wealth and all the blessings will just be drawn to her. She doesn't have to go after them. She doesn't have to chase after that. She chases after you. She chases after love for you and love from brethren, love from people, love from those you called her to love and to love her. And I thank you, Jesus, for bringing those financial blessings to her in Jesus' name, where she will walk in that place of where love draws the blessings to her. Amen. She doesn't have to seek after them. They will seek after her. Amen. I'm thirsty tonight. Amen. So I thank you, Lord, for that alabaster box, that expensive place of love, that place of love that is passionate, that is willing to take all she has and you know, pour it out on the Lord, that she takes everything she has that's wealthy, that's valuable, and she pours that on you, Jesus, that you will bring a wealthy, blessed, happy life to her, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. For she's loyal and faithful to you, Jesus. Amen. All right, 214-434. You might talk to her from, please.
This is Kimberly in Texas. Will you play for Kimberly and Derek?
Kimberly and Derek, yes. All right, Kimberly. If you look for Kimberly and Derek. Hallelujah. All right, thank you, Lord, for Kimberly and Derek, God. We thank you, Jesus, for opening up that place of union, of coming together in that place, Father, of uniting together in that place of beauty and of love and covenant, God, in Jesus' name. Just bless that, continue that, open that up, Jesus. Amen. Let them learn to walk together, fellowship with one another, give each other the freedom to be themselves, and honor that and respect that, and yet that love, that connection. Love always connects us with, you know, when love connects us, then we're connected. We don't have to be the same, look the same, act the same. Amen. Love covers a multitude of sin. It covers a multitude. We're able to walk in that love of Jesus that takes us the way we are, and everybody's looking to be accepted the way they are, and then we leave it to God to change them, leave it to God to do a work in them, because love and covenant knows that faithful and loyal to one another because of love. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let it be done, God. Let it come together. Come together right now. All right, in Jesus' name, bless, 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 God. Hallelujah, amen. All right, 682-738, you want to talk to you from, please?
This is LaShawn from Texas.
This who? Michelle?
This is LaShawn from Texas.
Oh, LaShawn, okay. I should know that number better. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for LaShawn. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the victory, God, for bringing the victory. God, that she projects victory, that the ultimate victory of Christ Jesus, no matter what we go through, the hard times, whatever. God, we don't tell people that everything's going to be rosy. We tell them that there are hard times that we will go through, but there's victory in Christ, and that the church, you know, people are going to learn to keep their eyes on the Lord, that you're going to bring victory, God, and you're using the shun to create a spirit of victory in people, that they know that even though they go through a hard time, they go through a difficult time, that you're never going to leave them, you're never going to forsake them, you're always with them, and that because their eyes are on you, Jesus, they're going to make it that you give her that anointing that's in her, God, be released to help people keep their eyes on the victorious one, the one who will bring the victory, the one who's coming, the one who's living, the one whom we adore, the one who we look to for all things. amen, in Jesus' name, that we don't live in idolatry, but we live in purity. And we got one God, only one God, the true and living God, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for that anointing, God, to bring that forth in the body of Christ, Father, to be faithful and loyal to you, Jesus. Amen. Reward her for that, God. Increase her and multiply her, God, in that place, in Jesus' name, of reward. Amen. The rewards of God are not for our own selfish stuff. But they're there to help us to do what God's called us to do and, you know, pay for our house, pay for our car, pay for our stuff. But it is to do the work of God. It's a covenant. We take care of Jesus. The example I use the most lately is that Jesus told Peter, he said, you're going to go fishing to pay our taxes. And first fish's mouth is going to have the payment in it, the money in it. And you're going to take it. You're going to pay your taxes and you're going to pay mine. That's the way God does it. You know, we keep that in mind. That's exactly what God says to it. And so, amen. That's what the blessing of God does. It doesn't just bless God. It blesses us too. We're in covenant with each other. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Open up that covenant room, Father. All right, 954-580. Who am I talking to you from, please? All right, 954-580. Hang on a second, I got a little thing going on here. All right, 954, you there? 954-580. Thank you, Lord, for Caroline, Jamaica, choosing. Thank you, Lord, for that, for the keys to the keys to the treasures of the house of God. God, you've given her keys, understanding how to flow. It's in you, Caroline. It's already in you. God's just going to show you how to unlock it, show you how to connect to it, show you how to, you know, your faithfulness and your loyalty to God and doing what he says is the key to that blessing. It's the key to the treasures. Amen. And 2022 is going to be a key for your treasure. You're going to step into the treasure this year. Amen. In Jesus' name, those treasures are going to manifest for you in the name of the Lord. Let it be done, Father. For Caroline, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 903-808. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, this is Janie in Texas.
Hey, Janie. All right, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Janie. Thank you, Lord, for this. Ooh, right away, the wings, like, you know, you've seen that movie where the angel helps the guy make it through life and he gets his wings, you know. What is that? It's a Wonderful Life. But yeah, I think it's a Wonderful Life. And he gets his wings, you know, it's like, you know, the bell rang after he accomplished helping the guy, you know, get his family back together and get his money back together and get all the stuff going on. And realize that his life was important. His life was, you know, that's the big thing, is that George Bailey. I don't know if I remember all this. I barely remember the name of it. His Wonderful Life. And George Bailey was the guy who, you know, was always helping people, always, you know, trying to get him money, get him a house. He had their best interest at heart. And he just thought, he just never even realized how many people he touched and influenced in his life. Including his brother Harry, who he saved when he was a kid, and blah, blah, blah. Until one day when he went through this thing, as you know, if you've watched this Wonderful Life, and the whole purpose was that the angel finally realized, oh, I know what'll wake him up. I know what'll help him. I know what'll show him that he has a purpose to live, and that is to know that all the people he's touched, you know, without him, all these people would have never even thought about it. Harry never even thought. So the whole, so the angel, you know, did a thing where nobody knew who he was. And so he realized that all the people he had touched, the people he went through, you know, that had died in the angel's scenario where he went through town, and it's like Harry had never lived, and all the people that he helped save weren't alive anymore, or, you know, whatever, messed up, that he realized how he touched people. And, yeah, so not only is this for you, but you being the angel, getting your wings to help other people realize they have a purpose in life, that they have value, that they have, without them, you know, that they have a special calling in life. Every person has a special calling in life to touch special circumstances and situations. And the angel was used from heaven. So in one sense, I see you like getting your wings or something, and like the angel did when he helped him successfully come through realizing he was valuable, had a reason to live, you know. And, yeah, and plus the fact that the whole goal was to, the angel helped him find that he had a purpose in life, and God using you to do that with people. And also to, you know that you in your life have that reason to live because of all the people God's going to, not only the ones that you have already touched and helped in a different way, but the ones you're going to touch. And how God has a purpose for us because all the people that all the purposes that God has for us, the reason the purpose is so important, the reason the will of God is important, because the will of God is always us serving and being and touching people. And helping to change their life or getting them to a place to where they got their life changed or something, some way we help them by the grace of God, the will of God. We do in the will of God to help things get accomplished. You know, sometimes we help, you know, people, we help ministry, we help churches, we help friends, we help, you know, whatever, congregate, we help people to get that purpose done. Yeah, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for that with Jeannie, God, that she will understand not only has she helped people already, but it's her future way of helping people. And when she looks back and she goes, when the millennium reign comes, and she looks back and she gets her rewards for, she's not even going to realize how many people that this person that she helped that person, and that person helped another person. And if she had not helped that one person, all those other people would not have been helped. And it goes over and over again, God, in Jesus' name. That's why you walk in the will of God. It's not just about getting something done that we feel important that about only, although that is important. That important thing is about helping other people get where they belong and knowing that without us helping them, that they might not have made it. Fucking this. It's a wonderful life. Anyway, I don't know where that came from exactly, but hallelujah. God is good. All right, Gene. You're doing that. All right. 111, who am I talking to you from, please? All right. I think this is probably Carmen from Texas. Thank you, Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Yeah, more that place of you know, how to disarm the enemy, how to disarm things when things get going. You know, sometimes it's like people say things, do things, it just starts this thing, and it just seems like it just goes on and on and on. And how do you, disrupting, tearing up things, how to disarm the enemy in other people, how to disarm situations, how to keep things from going from bad to worse, you know. And because the devil's whole purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy, which is go from worse to worse to worse to worse. And to be able to disarm that, God's showing you, giving you keys and strategies how to disarm Carmen, the enemy, from doing his thing, you know, giving people wisdom, keys that they need, understanding they need, strength that they need to not go back and take vengeance out from somebody or whatever, to anger or whatever, the hostility, but to love and forgive and to disarm the enemy. And the more we do that, the more you do that, as God uses you, it disarms the enemy. Because the enemy weaponizes people with weapons to destroy other people one way or the other, with their mouth, whatever the thing is, and to disarm them. God's strategy in using us as a tool to disarm the enemy in whatever fashion we can, to help people forgive so that they don't go and, you know, hurt people and wound people, and those people hurt people, and those people hurt people. That whole thing is you to stop that, to disarm that. God, in Jesus' name, how the disarmament of the weapons that is formed against people, that we take those weapons, those dangerous weapons, out of the hands of the enemy and out of the hands of people that don't know how to use things that will hurt people. Hallelujah, to disarm and cause peace to be and health and healing to be, in Jesus' name. All right, 919-801, you want to talk to Reed Trump, please? All right, 919-801, are you there? Nothing, it's Cheryl from Illinois, wherever she's from. All right, Cheryl, thank you, Cheryl. Thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl. God, we thank you, Lord, for that place in her heart, God, that you have reserved for. You know, God reserves our heart, things in our heart for him. He reserves places in our heart for others. And but he's always first and the most, you know, the most important one. So we put him first, and then when we do that, then those places that occupy room for love, you know, for friendship, for people to be in our life, for success, there's different rooms in our heart. Like we have a mansion, our life, our you know, in our life is built like a mansion that has many different rooms for many different things, including people, you know, business, success, you know, serving, working, you know, all that stuff. And I thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, God, that she begins to see that as she puts God first, and then that all the other rooms, all the other areas that you have in her life to fulfill, you're going to fulfill those things, God. You're going to fulfill them with much love and with much, you know, purpose, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, to realize, she will realize you are a designer, that you design things. And when you design something, you make it to do a certain thing. And when it's made to do a certain thing, when it comes time to do it, it just does it because it's made to do it. Amen? Yeah, it does. You're going to be able to do what you need to do, Cheryl, because you're made to do it. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, 303-386, who am I talking to you from, please?
It is just a man seeking the heart of the Lord.
All right, there you go, Mike. All right, Mike, thank you for being with us. Thank you, Jesus, for your heart. Thank you, Lord, for the altar of God. We thank you, Lord, for the altar realm. You call Mike an altar. God, you call him to be an altar where we offer up things, where things change, where he has a whole heart to see things change. And Lord, I thank you for giving him that understanding that when things change, we come to that place when things change, they change eternally, not just temporarily, right? Sometimes I've gone through many times in my life where what got changed seems like it got changed temporarily, and then they go back to it, and then change temporarily and go back to it, and then finally God started bringing this place to where somehow I don't even know what happened, but he taught me how to give it to him. And when I did that, when he changed it, you know, I planted and watered, but God gave the change. And when he changed it, it's changed. It changed without me having to work it all the time. It changed without me having to, you know, do it. So I thank you, Lord, that with all of us, you're doing it with me. I'm learning how to walk in that place, or I let you change it. I let you do it. That way I don't have to, you know, work it all the time and mess with it and spend my energy. I thank you, Lord, that we seek your heart, knowing that you're the changer of life. You change people. You change things. We just do our part. We plant, we water, and you give the change or the increase. And I thank you, Lord, that you teach, you're showing Mike how to enter more and more and more into that place. He already is, but enter into the fullness of it, where we see things change, they're changed forever, and we rest in it. We don't try to hurry it up. We don't try to, you know, we trust you, we rest in you, and we know that you're the one. When you change it, it's changed forever. Amen. It's not going to go. We're not going to wonder when it's going to fall apart or when it's going to have a fit. Why? Because we trusted God. Because Mike trusts you, God. to do your mighty work, God, in Jesus' name. And that work is done forever and ever. It gets finished because it never stopped being. Amen. That eternal work of God. Hallelujah. Wow. Cool, man. All right. 864-439, who I talk to you from, please?
Yeah. A.K.A. Job from South Carolina.
Hey, Job. All right. Good to have you, Walter. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, God, for that. You know, Job, one thing about Job is you bring it up. You brought it up, bro, not me. Yeah, Job had a heart for God, man. He had a heart for God. And God trusted that when he went through that thing, that even though it was hard, even though he didn't like it, even though it was difficult, we don't have to like stuff. We don't have to. But he kept, and when after getting through frustration, all the thing, like, what's going on? What did I do wrong? What's happening? He came back and said, God, you know, though you slay me, yet, well, I'm going to praise you no matter what. And I don't know if that was in him all the time. It kind of grew in him. Amen. And it grew and grew and grew and grew and grew in him. Amen. And when it grew in him, that's what God was doing. He was growing in him. Though you slay me, yet will I praise you. Because when God gets us to that place, Walter, as you well know, when we actually walk in that, you know, forever, for good, you know, it gets built in us, then God can trust us with anything. He can double us up and know that we're going to give all that double to him. Amen. Double for our trouble would be because we learn how to, you know, though you slay me, yet will I praise you. Amen. It worked all that stuff, all that fear, all that and wondering, all that concern about his children, all that thing about why God said, what about this? He totally moved to a place of trusting God, and therefore God was able to double him. Amen. Because he had the thing in him. But though you slay me, well, I praise you. And God's a man. When I got somebody like that, I can trust him with anything. Amen. All right. All right. 608-960. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hey, Shannon in Wisconsin.
All right. 608-960. Shannon from Wisconsin. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon tonight, God. Thank you, Father, for that place of yes and amen, God, that we get more of our mind on what you're doing and what you're accomplishing instead of what the devil can do and is doing, that more and more we get our eyes off the storm, Oh, look what the storm is doing. What happened? We start sinking. Immediately we start sinking. Doesn't mean the storm's not there. Doesn't mean that we're fantasizing, like it's not right. But we don't get our eyes on it. We don't start worrying about it. We don't start freaking out about it and start talking about it. Oh, Jesus. I don't got my eyes on you, but you see this storm. I can feel this storm right over here. You know, I can feel it. It's coming. It's big. It's massive. It's good. And the more he talked about the storm, pretty soon he was looking at it. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, that my brother, that one thing you're teaching him, God, is that this massive storm he's going through, that he's learning to not give it attention, because the more attention he gives it, the more he says, yeah, that's coming at the end. And he's getting his eyes on the storm. God, that he keeps his eyes on the yes and amen person, Jesus Christ. Keeps his eyes on him. Yeah, did he hear the storm? Did he know it's out there? Yeah. But he keeps his eyes on Jesus. He's pursuing the storm that cannot affect him any longer. Why? Because he totally bows to Jesus and knowing that that storm is not going to get his focus on how bad it is, how strong it is, how powerful it is. But how powerful Jesus is, how powerful strong. Thank you, Lord, but that's the very thing you're teaching my brother, God. How, just like you're teaching Peter, you taught Peter. Peter failed. Peter sunk, just like we do, just like Shannon has done. And I've done too, God. You're thinking, Lord, that you're teaching him how to, where's your faith at? You faith in the devil? Because he can, your faith is there because you're letting him affect you. You talk about him. Anyway, get our eyes back on Jesus. We focus on Jesus. We know the storm is there, right? But we're not spending our time talking about it, focusing on it, because we know when we do, that's the enemy's strategy. To say, I'm coming to get you. You're going down. I've got you before, and I'll get you again. You know what I mean? Like, bringing in his ear the storm. He's been around a lot of storms. He knows how powerful they are. He knows how they destroy. They destroy everything. But you know what? As powerful as that was, he didn't think about the power of that. He thought about the power of God. And that's why he was walking on the water, because God's called you, brother, to walk in the power. Amen. And the walk in the water. And the only way it's going to happen in the storm raging around that you live in is totally ignoring that and having your eyes on Jesus, because knowing that he's going to protect you. He's going to watch over you. He's the yes and amen God. Amen. You're blessed and favored. Let the God show you that. Amen. All right, 912-246. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, Prophet Randy. Angela Joy.
Hey, Angela Joy. All right, the sufferings of Christ, God, that what we learned is suffering. Suffering isn't like things going wrong. Suffering is knowing that we are putting you first, that even sometimes when Abraham was offering up Isaac, that was a big suffering thing for him. He was suffering. He was going like, God, you know, I'd rather this be me than my child. But he had to do it because God knew that when he suffered that particular thing, he went through the suffering of offering up his own son. But that was going to do something in him that was going to open him up to the breadth and the width and the height and the length of the love of God and the provision of the Father that nothing else would. So the suffering wasn't like Isaac was sick and he was dying. No, he was healthy, he was well, everything's fine, but he was having to offer him up, having to give him to God. And we did that. Just the fact that he's working and wrestling through this thing of, you know, God, how's this going to happen? How's this going to work? That's all suffering, because when God asks us to do something, when there's something in our life that, you know, that we need to overcome, that God is teaching us that we're going to, you know, walk through and offer up and bless, that the suffering part of it is wondering how it's going to happen, how it's going to work, how are you going to raise him up from the dead? How's this going to do? I don't know how it's going to do, but I'm going to trust you anyway. And it caused him to suffer, but that suffering brought him to glory. That suffering opened him up to God providing for him. That's what the whole suffering was about. And I thank you, Jesus, for Angela, as she goes through the different sufferings of things you're having her believe for and trust for and don't see and don't understand. How's this going to work? It looks impossible. And we suffer with that because we can't see it. Therefore, you know, we decide to trust God anyway. When we do that, that expands us and expands our heart in a way that nothing else can do. I mean, that's suffering. That particular kind of suffering is what I'm talking about. That suffering expands us and opens us up to trust God for his provision more than anything else. And it's usually something very close and intimate too. That's why Abraham had to go through the suffering of offering his own son, because it was one of the things that God knew would enlarge him like nothing else, make him suffer like nothing else, make him trust and seek God like nothing else. Amen. It did. And he became blessed because he did. Because he was successful, just like you're going to be successful. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right. 251-229. Who do I talk to you from, please? Since I had a dream a couple of days ago when a storm came. But I saw my bare feet walking across a hot grill grate. There were several pieces of cooked meat on the grill. My feet were walking lightly, but I didn't seem to be getting burned. But there was high tension in my spirit. Wow. Cool, man. Awesome. What a word. All right, 251, are you there? 229? 251-221, are you there? Unmute me or something? All right, Sarah. All right, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah, for being on with us tonight. Thank you, God, for your patience and your love, God, and your kindness, God, toward her. In Jesus' name, that you know, that's the thing about why God has to be God. That's why we need somebody, Sarah, in our life that's not human and just decides, you know, I've had enough of you. Get out of here. I mean, he's so patient and so kind because he's a supernatural God. And now that we have Jesus on our side, he can even be more long-suffering and more gentle and more kind and more patient. Why? Because he's got Jesus to intercede for us when we mess up, right? So now he's even got more compassion, believe it or not, more patience with us, more. He's so loving, so kind, so understanding. Number one, because now we have a personal, he has a personal laborer who labors with us, the Holy Spirit. And because of that, you know, he knows us. It's going to, that work's going to get done that normally doesn't get done with people. So thank you, Jesus, for my sister, God. Thank you, Lord, for that guidance, for that love, that for that power in Jesus' name of your ministry, of the Holy Spirit, God, of your favor, and letting her realize and know that you are for her, more than she's for herself, that she can trust you with her life. Amen, in Jesus' name, and that you are, she is, you are more able to take care of her and want to take care of her more than she wants to take care of herself. Hallelujah. Jesus. And that's why you sent, for God so loved Sarah that he gave his only begotten son, his only begotten son. Just imagine Abraham saying, okay, Sarah, I'm going to take my son. I'm going to offer him up for you. What? You're going to offer Isaac for me? You can't do that. He's your favorite son. Yeah, but I'm doing this for you. And then you watch him do it. You go, he did that for me. He did that for me. He did that for me. And it really started coming across that he did that for me. He did that for me. Wow. The love, the trust, the patience, the compassion of Jesus flowing into your life, Father. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Let it be done. Amen. All right. Very cool. All right. That was my last caller with their hand up tonight. So, we prayed over tonight quite a few. Got too early, man. I'm getting better at this. Is that what it is? I don't know. Am I getting better at this and getting it done quicker or something? I'm not sure. I work less and make more. There you go. All right. 951-966. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Cracker. This is Regina.
Oh, hi, Regina. Good to have you.
Hi.
Hello. All right. Thank you, Regina. Thank you, Jesus, for Regina. Lord, I thank you for that place of prosperity. I thank you, God, that you're going to, people are going to look at you, what God does for you, and they're going to go, man, I wish we would have, I would have been nicer. I wish I would have been more friendly. I wish I'd have been, you know, like, man, look at God, what God's done with Regina. Look what God has done for her. She is blessed. She's blessed. She's blessed. I hope she'll be my friend again. It's like, you know, so it's like people wishing they had, you know, been kinder and, you know, because they now see that, you know, how God has blessed you and blessing you and, you know, raising you up, and didn't realize, couldn't see the hand of God in your life like it is. They couldn't see that because sometimes God doesn't allow them to see it, Regina. We have to realize that. Sometimes God doesn't let people see the blessing in our life, the calling and the glory in our life, because he wants us to suffer it alone for a season. That's kind of what happened with Joseph. Joseph became so blessed because, you know what? He had to trust the Father. God didn't let him have a special relationship with anybody for a while. Right? Right? Thrown out of his father's, spoiling him, and the whole thing into, you know, the hands of Egyptians, and then thrown in prison. And it's like God didn't allow him for a season because God was trying to unlock that blessing inside of him. And so he allowed him to suffer for a while. And then finally when he came to his place, like you are, that they, his brothers looked, oh my gosh, look at that. Joseph was right. We did bow down to him. We did honor him. He was the one God showed. He was the one God called. He was the one that God blessed. And they wished they had never did what they did. They wished they had never said, they regretted it. They dreaded it. They said, man, we didn't see it. We didn't know. I've had people do that with me at times. we didn't know you were called to be this. We didn't know you were called. And the glory that that gives to God for your life, Regina, is amazing. It's amazing. Because people, we don't realize that God, we wonder, why can't they see? Why can't they understand? You know, because sometimes God blinds them. Like with Joseph, his brothers were blinded. Therefore, they rejected him. And when they rejected him, that set him up for them to come later and do exactly what Joseph said was going to happen. But they were blinded at first. And he understood later that they were blinded for a reason. That all of it was working together for good. And I thank you, Jesus, for Regina, God. She's seeing that more and more and more all the time. That you're going to unravel that. You're going to, when the blessing of God begins to manifest in such a way of your glory in her life, God, success and blessing, that people who rejected her, people who misunderstood her, are going to go, man, we wish you would have never done it. Yeah, and you're going to go, it's okay. God used it. I mean, the pain and suffering was rough. But what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. Amen. So bless Regina, God. Open that up for her in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. Amen. All right. All right. 251-229.
Yes. Hello. Hi. This is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hey, Sarah. I already prayed over you. I got you earlier.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, yeah.
Okay, with you.
Yeah, I already got you. Yeah, I got you earlier. You were on, and I think you were busy or something, but I called your number, and I knew it was you, so I prayed over you. And if you'll look, you know, right before Regina, I just prayed for Regina, right? Just right before her. All right, so there you go. You're blessed, and you didn't know it, girl. Isn't that awesome? I love it. You already got your blessing. Hey, let that be a thing that God begins to show you that you already blessed and you didn't know it. God already blessed you and did something for you. Amen. And you didn't know it yet. It's like, you go, what? He's already blessed me? Thank you, Jesus. Wow, I've already got it. Yeah. And God's gonna open you up that realm of knowing that you already are blessed. He's already blessed you. You already did it? Yeah. Yeah, okay, God, you know. Let it be opened up, God, in Jesus' name. If you realize he's already blessed. You've already done it. By his stripes, we were healed, so to speak. Amen? Sarah, all right, that kind of worked out for a good word, didn't it? Came back for a number, for more, and didn't even know it. I love that stuff, man. That is awesome. All right, I think that's my last caller tonight. I'm finishing really early tonight. My gosh, it's only 11:30. Wow. All right. I'm going to give it a few and see if anybody raised their hand and gets back in there. All right. Awesome. All right, there's a real love for him tonight. I know when I was ministering to Cheryl from Florida and she came on and started with that hot, the fire of God. I caught more of that realm of the fire of God's love, and that God is called. Some people are just called to, you know, and we're all called to be loved, of course. Some people have an extra amount of need. John was one of those people who had this tremendous need to be loved, and God made him that way. God made him to be. So he was leaning on Jesus' breast, right? He was really close. I mean, the other disciples say, hey, John, ask Jesus about, you know, so there's that special place that God has for us. And it was known with everybody that John was, so there's that place for some of you. You're going to realize that you're like John. Amen. And, yep. All right. 478-223. Who am I talking to you from?
This is Janice from Georgia.
Hi, Janice. Hi, Janice. Good day.
Hey.
Hi. Good day, Janice. All right. Thank you, Janice, for calling in tonight. Thank you, Lord, for I just saw this whole scene where the big bad wolf says to the three little pigs, you know, we're going to huff and puff and blow your house down. And it's like, you know, and so he starts huffing and he starts puffing. The wolf, you know, starts trying to blow their house down. And he couldn't do it. You know, it's like this thing, like I saw, he couldn't do it. And he wore himself out trying to blow their house down because their house was built on the rock. like your house, like God saying he's showing you that, yeah, the wolf is going to come. They always come. And they huff and they fluff, and they're going to blow your house down. But they can't do it, you know. And does it mean you can't hear the roaring sound of the huffing and the puffing? Yeah, you're going to hear it. But the Bible says that, you know, that it's not going to affect you. Will you hear it? Will you feel it? Yeah, but what will affect you? No. So God's going to show you that sometimes you feel things, you hear things, you know things, but you know what? It's not going to affect you. It's not going to harm you. Sometimes God gives you warning to know that something's coming or something's happening, and you begin to pray over people and pray protection, pray that, that when the wolf, big bad wolf comes to blow their house down, that it won't, that they'll be ready, that they'll be prepared. They will have themselves ready, you know, for that, and they will not be blown away. Amen. It's giving you kind of an alarm system beside you to know that, you know, struggles and battles coming. Get ready. So when people are ready, you know, the huffing and puffing, just they realize they're going to hear the huffing, they're going to feel it, but it is not going to affect them. And they need to know that, because if they panic, they'll panic and run, and then the devil gets them. Right? That's what one thing he does. The devil tries to stir up people to get them to panic. When they panic, they take off running out the back door, and then he nails them. As long as we stay in Israel, when the angel of death was coming, there was a lot of fear in the atmosphere, man. It was intense. The people were dying. The Egyptians were dying by the thousands, you know, and they could hear the cry in Egypt like never before. And so when it came to the front door of the Israelites, you know, in the sense that it was like, yeah, if they would have panicked and run outside, the Bible said God said told them to stay behind the door, put the blood on the doorpost, and stay behind the door. If they had panicked and ran out, they would have died. So that's what the enemy tried to get. So in a sense, panic tries to come and tries to get it. So God using you to help prepare people, get them ready. Yeah, you're gonna hear the huffing and puffing. You're going to hear the threats. Like Goliath threatened David, but it's not going to harm you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right. God bless you. All right. All right. Okay. 847-239. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Stephanie from Illinois.
Hi, Stephanie. All right, Stephanie. All right. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Lord, for that. Her character, God, that her character is growing in you more and more all the time, God. You're in the Ark of the Covenant. You know, the Ark of the Covenant was wood, which is the nature of man. And it was covered with gold. So, you know, we need our nature covered with God's gold, right? We all do. But the thing is that he never gets rid of the wood. The wood was part of it. That all represented, that really meant a man covered with God's glory, right? That was speaking of Christ Jesus, which also, in a sense, speaks of us, that because that God covers us with his glory, amen? So where we realize that we have our human nature. Our human nature is not necessarily bad, and we have a sinful nature. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our human nature that's weak, that's frail, that doesn't know, you know, that knows that without God we can't do it. You know, and your human nature is not necessarily evil, but it's incapable of doing supernatural things, knowing that it has to depend on God, has to rely on God, and that's the weak part of us, that when we become weak, then he becomes strong. Well, I thank you, Lord, for Stephanie, God, that she realizes that her humanity is not necessarily evil part of her, but it's a weak part of her, but it's covered, that you're covering her with gold. She's being renewed every day, God. You're covering her in gold, God, knowing that her humanity is covered in your glory. But she's weak, you're strong. You're strong. She becomes strong because your gold, your glory, your character, your nature covers her, God, on the inside and on the outside. Hallelujah. You're going to carry her places, God, in the spirit to bring glory to you, Jesus. Carry her to places of information to bring you glory, God. Information, Jesus always brought forth information. And when that information was from heaven, it was powerful. Amen. His words were powerful. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right, Stephanie, thank you. We're getting close to 11:40. two or three people call in already at the end there waiting, so give a little bit of time, give people a chance to find out if they can close the show, maybe they want to call in real quick before we do. We also make that opportunity known, open it up, so that you can jump in there before we cut it off for the night. Tomorrow is Thursday. We'll take communion, pray, and believe God. Amen. So make sure and be a part of that. All right. Hallelujah. All right. If nobody else raises their hand, we will call it a night tonight. I'm getting off early, man. I'm working less and got more time. I'd love to minister to God's people. Y'all know that. It's a blessing to me. I'm thankful for it. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't have your hand, if I'm not calling your number because you don't have your hand up, all right, you're sitting there going, why is he calling my number? Because you don't have your hand up. I call every number that has their hand up. If you don't have your hand up, that means you're waiting, listening, and you don't want me to get you because you don't have your hand up. All right? In case you don't know that, in case you've forgotten that. 903, you don't have your hand up. 831, you don't have your hand up. 901, you don't have your hand up. You may know that. You may understand it. And that may be what you want for now. Amen. All right. Just letting you know. In case you want. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to wait and do it a few more minutes to see if people want to get in and talk or get ministered to, whatever. Hallelujah. Still here, and give me a little more time to get your hand up there if you want in prayer. I'm trying to be patient. Amen and amen. All right, I guess we're going to call it a night tonight. Thank you for being with us, and that's been great. Try to hang on a little bit there, give you some time to call in case you're listening and waiting so you can call in. All right, I guess that's it for tonight. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Thank you so much for being with us, and we will talk to you tomorrow night. All right, bye-bye. Don't forget your communion tomorrow night, and we will pray for you. All right, bye.